Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, brand journalists, and the Better Software Company. The Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. On today's show, which, by the way, is the last show of the decade, so happy New Year's to everyone. Today, we're going to be joined by Jonna Burke. She's the Global Managing Director of AMEC, the Association for the Measurement and Evaluation of Communications. Hey, Jonna.
Hey, Jack. Thanks for having me.
You have the distinction on this podcast, as we're approaching 500 episodes, of being the podcast guest whom I have known longer than any other guest.
Fantastic. It has been a pleasure over the years, my friend. So,
and I just did the math. I think we are approaching knowing each other for 20 years. I believe we met in 1999. So,
I think that is correct. Yeah. Yes. The math works.
You were 12 and I was 14.
So, something like that. Yes. Very, very close to those numbers. Well done.
Yes.
Obviously, math is in another podcast that will be. But yeah, no. And I encourage your other guests to rally me for defeat of that number, because you are a great pleasure. And I think over the years, watching your career and your leadership and what you bring to the table in the conversation and expertise, it's truly a pleasure to always catch up with you.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I appreciate it. And it's just great. We don't have to worry about Y2K like we did when we first met. So,
oh, the nail biting days of it all.
Y2K, it wasn't 10 years ago, folks. It was 20 years ago. So think about that as you're reveling tonight. So as we're talking about, you know, kind of moving through our careers in this marketing and communications crazy business, tell us what you're doing now with the Association for the Measurement and Evaluation of Communications.
You bet. So AMEC is a global trade association, and I'm basically one of the luckiest people in the world who has the opportunity every day to live and pursue something that I'm really passionate about, right? You know, I mean, it's all over the headlines and the books of Live Your Purpose, and I'm really fortunate to be able to do that right now and to work with really smart people who are equally passionate, and to be able to help people. You know, one of the big charters of AMEC is education, and we offer a combination of courses for people to advance their understanding and to be able to learn more about how communications can lead and be effective. And, you know, we steer away from just reporting on counts and amounts. And as I watch people globally upskill by using our tools, our free tools and resources, and by going through our certificate and training programs, it's pretty exciting. And again, I'm very lucky, and I have the support of an amazing international board behind me who are equally passionate. So we look forward to more great things ahead in 2020. And, you know, it's important to provide member value, but it's really important to make sure that we are, you know, sharing that message and demonstrating best practices, so everyone is working towards excellence. It's exciting.
Have you found over the past several years that you've gone, let's stick with the education to start with, that you've gone from educating brands and organizations that communications and measuring that communication is important to now you're really educating them on how to do it, not so much that you have to do it. Are they finally with us that this all needs to be measured?
It's still a combination globally. Here in North America, I think there's a bit of a challenge and a race. So as communications, PR, and marketing have all become more integrated with their own reporting structures, it's created a little bit of a challenge, right? Because then everyone wants to chase those conversion metrics. Mm-hmm. Everyone chase the clicks. Oh, this has clicks and this gets them into the pipeline. And, you know, PR and communications, corporate communications are very different, that they have a longer tail effect. And so, you know, as everyone's kind of chasing and looking at those short-term metrics, it leaves the question of, well, if everyone's chasing the funnel, who's managing reputation?
Yeah.
Who's managing crisis? Who's there when things really get dicey to be able to talk about the message and dissection? And what is that corporate collateral that you have that you can weigh against anything when it really happens? And if everyone is so focused on the target of leads, you lose that. And so I think, you know, the people who are really smart about how they're working with data, how they're working with metrics and communications, they realize that there's a balance. And they've used, you know, some of our resources, which are, again, they're free tools. So one of the ways that people can even figure out where they are in their own kind of measurement and communications journey, we have a tool, it's called the Measurement Maturity Mapper. It's a mouthful, so we lovingly call it the M3. And okay. It's a diagnostic that over, you know, 8 to 10 minutes, someone can go through, complete the questions, and it will give them an assessment of where they are in communications and evaluation, right? To say, oh gosh, we're at the really basic level. How do we upskill? And it gives the prescriptive at the conclusion. Say, here's where you are. Here's where you rate against everyone who's taken the query. So you can say, you know, according to all of these other people who've taken it, we're this percentage of the journey, but here's where you are in general. And then we give the ability for people to then step by step of how they can upskill. So if they're basic, they can get to intermediate. If they're intermediate, what are those steps that they need to get to take them to advanced? Obviously, we have a lot of talented, wonderful members who can help them along that journey if they're so inclined. They can also do it themselves by using our integrated evaluation framework. And that is an online interactive it essentially comes out as a PDF for people once they've completed it, but giving them step-by-step of how to go from measuring outputs to measuring outcomes, the things that really matter, the things that are influencing the business, the things that are really moving the needle, the things that are aligned with the corporate objectives. So when someone comes to them and says, you know, I know that this is important, but I don't know why, they have the answers to say, really? Here's why. Because this is one of our objectives, and this is how communications supports that. This is how communications amplifies that message. This is how communications stabilizes us in an industry that we could otherwise be very unstable. And so it takes a lot of that, you know, soft and fuzzy out of it, and it puts the data behind it, which is incredibly empowering for communicators who sometimes struggle with that, right? There's a little bit of an inferiority complex around data. But it empowers them and emboldens them, and it makes them a must-have at the table, as opposed to that, you know, I'd really like a seat at the table. And so a lot of big brands, and I see this as being most relevant for your franchise groups, because they do model after big brands. And big brands make sure that they have a communications person embedded at every aspect of the business, so that they're looking at what are those implications, right? Throughout the supply chain. How are we communicating with our suppliers? How are we communicating with our employees? How are we communicating with our customers? Is that message consistent? We want to be transparent. What does transparency look like, right? And so making sure that then all of those messages that are congruent with what they're trying to accomplish. And the really successful organizations have communications and data leading the way of doing that.
you're so right that this fits for a lot of the franchise brands that that I talk to all the time, because they are following the lead of the big brands, you know, the big fast food and the big pizza chains and the big, you know, other nice. Types of franchise brands. But I see this all the time with some emerging brand that no one's ever heard of, or even worse, they've been around for a little while and they have a terrible reputation. But all they're looking to do is spend 100% of their resources on communications and marketing in lead generation.
Right.
And it's like, you're spending all of this money and resources on generating leads and trying to get clicks to some place where someone can fill out a form, and no one's ever heard of your brand before.
Right.
And the few people who have heard of it think you're terrible. So
right. Trust, so reputation, all of those elements have to be a foundation before. I mean, because they'll be able to get some conversion, but yeah. It won't be like if they had done that heavy lift to begin with to really make that difference, you know. And
the conversion they get will probably not be their perfect customers, right?
It will be worse. Yeah. It will be worse than that. It will be the opposite of the perfect customer, because they're giving half information. The less than ideal customer is acting on half information, and they never get together. And so that cost per customer goes way up, because now the maintenance, the management, the servicing of that customer, all of those costs could have been avoided.
Yeah.
Of the solid foundation of communications. Not only that, but then if they don't have somebody minding the shop of what are those FAQs? What are those concerns? How are we tempering and trying to retain that customer through good communications? If they don't have that really difficult balancing act, then they can acquire them, but they can't keep them. You know, and so it is a balancing act, and it is a matter of, you know, just because you have a bad reputation doesn't mean that can't be turned around, but it can't be turned around with ads only. It can't be turned around with news jacking. It has to be turned around with doing some benchmarking, doing some level set against where you are, against your competition, what that looks like, and then having a really smart strategic thinker talk about, now this is how we're going to move the pieces around the tape up around the board.
So once a brand measures their maturity and the other things that they're doing through your tools, what next? After they realize sort of where they are in the world and what they need to do, now we're going to communicate other messages. How do we measure all of that?
So that's really where the planning piece is integrated into the integrated evaluation framework. And it's, again, another free tool that we provide. Thank you to all of our members and supporters. But they can go through and they fill in their objectives, and then it becomes an active plan for them that they can print out in a simple PDF, share with all of their, you know, franchise managers and say, this is the mission. These are the elements. This is what we're looking to. These are the factors that are in play in your region, in your state, in your geography, whatever those are. And this is the overarching plan. If you're doing something that is not on plan, you need to be asking yourself why, or you need to be telling us why. Because again, the great thing about the plan is that there are pivot points, right? There are societal factors, cultural factors, all of those elements. If the franchise owners can't convey and understand that, then they can't get to that accelerated benefit of good communications that's being effectively measured.
So once they're through that, what about the big, huge legacy brands that are out there that have been doing things the same way for 20 years or 30 years or whatever that number is? Do you see a lot of change that needs to happen on that level with those brands that need to go back and kind of, you know, break their habits and do things for right now, literally the next decade that's starting tomorrow, to go back and kind of reboot how they're doing their measurement as well? This isn't just for the smaller companies, right?
No, this is for everyone. And, you know, the integrated evaluation framework has been around for years now. and big brands are using it. They're modifying it for their own purposes. I mean, what you're seeing is any organization that has CRM that's really working with big data, right? There was a time when social media came onto the scene in 2005, 2006, and everybody was, you know, talking about big data. It's big data.
Yeah, well, big data.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you remember those conversations. It's like, oh my gosh, you know. But it was, that's a piece of it. But now we really see people who are working with big data. So they're taking their customer data. They're surveying their customers after every phone call, right? All of that survey data that some of these other franchisers are taking in, that's all going into that CRM, and they're modeling against that data. So those are those thresholds, right? They're able to see, is there a trend? Is there a thematic presence that we need to be able to look at? And they're getting to that predictive model in a crisis, in a certain time of the year, during earnings, because they are truly looking at all of that data, how it's working together. They're able to spot and identify some of those signals, some of those key indicators that will pop up that kind of start to trickle off into a trend. And I think there's a huge opportunity here for all brands to be able to, you know, modify. I mean, the framework is meant to be very basic. It isn't meant to be exhaustive, but we see really big brands who have taken that as the basis of a model that they've done for themselves. And now they're taking in all of their paid, earned, shared, and owned data, and they are getting that predictive model. So now that they can say, hey, we're starting to see this data inch up. When this has happened historically, these are the steps that have followed, and they're starting to be able to shorten that cycle. That's powerful.
I love that idea of having information and data from other groups and organizations and brands that someone could compare their own organization's data to. So it isn't just like, okay, you scored a 72. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know. But actually being able to see what other organizations are doing and kind of where they fit in, is that the conversation that happens within your association, like people sharing that information and you know, kind of lifting everybody up?
Absolutely. So we have, you know, we have a lot of resources that we make available. We have some special interest groups that work, you know, especially with nonprofits, especially with agencies, especially with, you know, corporate groups. And they have their own kind of clusters of, you know, best practices of what they're doing and what works for them. But we also have an annual summit every year in 2020. It will be in Vienna, June 2nd through 4th. And it is a nerd fest, or for the sake of your audience, a geek fest like no other. And it is 2 days, 2.5 days of just talking about how people are working with data. What are the elements? What are the schematics that they're looking at? What's changing? Who do they work with? Who do they partner with? Who are good partners? Who are bad partners? How are they seeing the change in the C-suite now that they're providing model data back to them, and not just, you know, what I call the graphic seduction of communications or chart form, right? Just counts and amounts, and, you know, only providing charts where it's going up and to the right, because that's what, you know, everybody thinks is success. And so when they're really seriously looking at it and qualifying it against the measurable objectives set by their organization, it is a beautiful, liberating experience. And you see people who are now embracing that challenge of getting better, right? And so how are they validating their own data? How are they making sure that they're using clean data so that they're getting those pristine results so that they can have the confidence in what they're putting forward? It's, you know, and like I say, with franchises, especially because there are so many layers of survey data that they're automatically taking, point of sale data that they're getting, that they can, as they're looking at that across the whole spectrum, what are those trends? How are they performing regionally? What are those cultural biases that they might be able to, you know, help with a new franchisee that, you know, might have some great idea, but when they can go back to the data and say, here's why this works in your area. If you're thinking about opening a franchise across the state lines, here's how it's going to be different and why. I mean, all of a sudden, that's extra money in the till. You know, I mean, that's real value of a business and being able to, anytime they can show them how they can save money, increase sales, you know, bring extra value, that's where the magic happens. You know, I mean, it really is something where we do blend that art and science. You know, the IPR talks about, I'm on the measurement commission of the IPR, and they talk about the blending of art and science, and AMEC is one of the groups that's helping to make that real for so many people who otherwise were, you know, more intimidated and less confident and comfortable in talking about data and seeing how communications really is a force to be reckoned with within every organization.
And without something like this, so many organizations are looking at generic data. They're not looking at data about their own brand and their own reputation,
right,
their own communications. They're just looking at industry average stuff that just probably doesn't apply to them. And then making business decisions based on, you know, what other people in their same sector are doing. And I see that as just a huge waste of time anymore, when you can actually get data about your own brand and your own communications and your own reputation.
Yeah. And there are so many different, you know, samples and audiences and even omnibus out there that you don't have to use average data. You know, it's a good baseline, right, to get you started going somewhere. But, you know, if you're using average data, then you're shooting to be average. You know?
And yes.
Anybody that's like, you know, I just want to be average today. We all get up and we drive and we pursue for excellence.
Right.
And, you know, so to use anything other than targeted, meaningful data that we can acquire, and it doesn't have to be so expensive nowadays, right? And there are so many ways that, again, people are modeling the data that they already have, that they're getting from their customers, that they're getting from performance of advertising, that they've already paid for.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's already
modeling that against what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. You've already put the money into it. So let's watch how it actually has affected your brand. That summit in Vienna sounds amazing. I think I may have to try to attend that this year. I think Vienna waits for me. What are the dates again of that in June?
June 2nd through the 4th.
Excellent. And who should attend this summit? Is it typically like the top communications executive within a brand, or who are you recommending attend?
So that's a good question, Jack. And I think, you know, historically it's a combination of the top comms person and the doers. Do they have a data scientist who's looking at the information and all across all of their paid, earned, shared, and owned, all of those champions need to be there so that as they're looking at what they're going to do with their own data when they get back, they're all on the same page. And it gives them a distinct conversation of looking at success stories. We share a lot of best practices during the summit as part of that, as well as, you know, new research, new things that are coming out. But those best practices are the things that we find that really inspire brands and people to want to be able to do things better, and then to give them that roadmap of how to do it. Because most of our speakers are there for the entire time. We have a lot of great networking, a lot of great cocktails that are made available to everyone. And everyone is so generous in sharing their best practices, because they know through those trials, they don't want anybody to go through those. And if they can help people kind of leapfrog over some of those challenges, our speakers are very generous, and the community is incredibly generous at being able to accelerate that for people.
Awesome. So, you had me at networking and cocktails. So
and Vienna, I will tell you that if you haven't been to Vienna, it really is a beautiful, beautiful city, and a lot of unexpected charm that you get from an older European city that's absolutely spectacular.
Awesome. We'll be back in just a minute to get some information on that summit and everything else that that AMEC has available. First, one quick note. Today's show is brought to you by Brand Journalists. We talk a lot on this podcast about using digital marketing for franchise lead generation, and nobody does it better than Brand Journalists. I've known these guys for about a decade now, and they've become one of the most experienced and successful franchise development marketing firms in the industry. They've grown over 170 franchise brands and helped FranDev Pros recruit over 10,000 new franchise owners. And they do it with my favorite method, great storytelling on websites and targeted digital marketing. So if you need a little help growing an emerging brand, or you want to breathe some life back into an older legacy brand, or you just want to rise above the noise, talk to Brand Journalists. They'll give you a free audit of your website and your FranDev marketing. Check them out at brandjournalists.com. Jonna Burke, thanks so much for joining me today. If our listeners are interested in finding out about the summit in June in Vienna, or maybe about some of the other free tools that are available for your members, where can we send those folks?
You bet. AMECorg.com. They can also feel free to reach out to me directly. I'm at Jonna, J-O-H-N-A, at AMECorg.com. And the free resources that I talked about are under measurement methodology on the homepage of the website. So all of the franchise owners should be sending their comms teams there stat.
Excellent.
And have that conversation. We will be launching some webinars in 2020 that will hopefully be an aid and a resource. And if any of the people have a comms team, we do have a certificate program. We'll have two courses, one in February and one in April, and then another in October after the summit in Vienna. And those are 10-week courses that are a certificate. And so it does give some rigor and some testing to applying all of the learning that they'll have if they're having a challenge in bringing the framework to life for their own organization.
Excellent. We'll have links to all of those places on the Social Geek website. Jonna, thanks so much for being here today. Look forward to seeing you again very soon, my friend, and have a great 2020.
Thank you, Jack. It was a pleasure, and wishing you and your family and all of your listeners all the best for a lot of success in 2020. I'll be right there listening with everyone else.
Thank you so much. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.